What's up, Myco family? Myco Trovic here. Welcome back to my podcast, where together we are going to grow in mind, body, spirit, and mushroom. On today's episode, we have a special guest. This is Bradford from Mushroom Champ over in Colorado. Brother, I've been watching you for, since 2020, timeframe, around that COVID timeframe where everybody kind of like took their hobby, passion, and turned it into a business. Obviously, you've done the same. You're in a little bit of a different space in Colorado where psilocybin is like air quotes legal, but you guys are like at the tip of the spear. So obviously I want to talk a little bit about that, but first and foremost, let's just get into it by having you introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about what you do, why you do it, and how you do it.
Yeah. So, my name is Bradford Champlin. I am the owner and I guess, operator of the Mushroom Champ in Denver, Colorado. I started that in 2020, kind of when COVID hit. I couldn't massage around that time because we were having a bunch of COVID scares. So I gravitated from being a licensed massage therapist into just like kind of just messing around with fungi again, just because that kind of took like a back end to everything. So the Mushroom Champ has had lots of pivots, I guess, over the few years. We started out as pretty much trying to mostly capitalize on spawn production. And that kind of migrated into substrate production only, mostly blanks. And then I was kind of doing some culture work on that back end of that for the last few years. And then now that Colorado's, quote unquote legal, we're trying to like move into that whole cultivation market that's going to be established in the industry. So with like Prop 122 and Senate Bill 23-290 here in Colorado. So, but yeah, I'm more kind of following the legislation and like what's going to happen with cultivation centers, health centers, and or facilities, and how all that's going to play out with facilitators, and you know what that looks like for personal use versus health clinic use and all that kind of stuff. So just like mainly all the legal aspects of things, because I've been in the space for a really long time, for like the last 2 to 3 decades or so. So,
gotcha. Well, that's awesome that you're. It sounds like you've always been in the health and wellness realm. I have many friends who are in massage therapy, things like that. My sister is a massage therapist, so I get that grind for sure. And then I guess transitioning into the mushroom realm, you're kind of still doing healing in some, it might be third party where you're providing a product and then there's an end user who gets to utilize it. What was your biggest push to shift from, obviously COVID was, changed everyone's lives and everyone's workflow, but what did your hobby or interest look like in mycology first? And then what made you catch an interest and think like, I can do a business out of this?
Oh man. Yeah. So I consume psychedelic mushrooms, only psychedelic mushrooms when I was like 15. I didn't really like the gourmet or button mushroom type. And same. I was dealing with a lot of like anxiety, depression, just because it's like part of our family history, like mental, diseases and stuff like that. So I took mushrooms as a child, which I do not recommend, because there's much safer ways of doing it now and, making sure that everyone's educated and all that kind of stuff. But I took them then and I was like, wow, this is something that you can easily grow, And so I started going on the internet at the time, because I was 15, I'm like 39 now. So that was like in the beginning of the internet, like the 90s, 95, 2000s. So I went on Shroomery. Earwood was a big thing back then for like trip reports to find out like what would happen if you took this thing, and kind of like that kind of stuff. I guess I went into it more as like a science mind and trying to see what I could get out of it to figure out if this was something for me. And I found out afterwards that it alleviated all my depression and anxiety for like multiple weeks. And then fast forward to like, my adult life and stuff, I just started messing around with fungi again, and like it just kind of materialized into a business. And I'd always wanted to be like in the mycology space, because I went to University of Missouri for my plant science degree, and that kind of morphed into computer science. And then, I started learning more and more stuff, and I got my degree in general studies, which is just like a conglomeration of like a bunch of different areas of focus, I guess. But I always knew that this was a business. I didn't know how. I wasn't in like a business development mindset. I didn't ever know how to be able to build a business. I just knew that it was something that could you can make money from, you know, doing something in the industry. Right. So I always look for like mycology jobs and stuff like that at like at Mizzou where I was, because there's a lot of farm, there's a huge ag program there. Mycology wasn't a huge thing back then either. And that's kind of like where I was in the underground of like doing things. But yeah, I mean, I didn't find gourmet and medicinal fungi until like 2019 or so, until I started like researching more about like oysters and lion's mane and all these other things. And those things fascinated me because you can just like, they just fascinate me because they're so fast, you know, most of the time. And like, yeah. And psilocybin is just a little bit different. You know, the psychoactive ones are just a little bit more finicky and all that kind of stuff. But, and there's bounds and leaps of information around everything now that's like pushing the envelope of where people are taking this stuff and like what products are being made and all that kind of everything. So
interesting. So you have some scientific background, some like, and then man, now you're like boots on the ground in a place in the world, not just the United States, where there's huge growth and momentum. What is like your local environment or local market look like? Is there just a bunch of startup brands? Is there a lot of like gourmet mushrooms? Like, what does it look like in your environment?
I would say gourmet has been pretty huge. Like, there's been people that have like started and fallen, you know, because you just see a bunch of people come in and out of the space. I always say this, that like there's like a lot of beginners that are like so gung-ho once they get like their first few grows, and they're like, I'm gonna make something, you know, I'm gonna make this brand and all this stuff. And it's like maybe slow your roll and assess like how much time and effort that takes to like build, you know, because it does. You know, I learned that in massage stuff, because that was very like just me as the business owner having to do most of the stuff, which it is here also, but this is like manual labor of doing, you know, certain things, whereas I guess massage was kind of manual labor also, but it's like products and services are just completely different, you know, and trying to get into that space legally, you know, and make sure that you're paying your taxes and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, like in Colorado, there's a lot of, I guess, influential people coming out of the shadows, so to speak, you know, from the legacy market. And I'm one of those people also, because I've been underground like the entire time. Like, I've been very scared to be vocal about things because, you know, being a martyr for the cause is kind of sucks, you know, then something happens to you. But I think it's just, you know, making sure that people understand, you know, the state rights that you have along with your federal rights and like what that means and in terms of like legality of you doing something legal, you know, which is starting to like become more prolific, like especially where we are in Colorado, you know, with, you know, having personal grows and all this kind of stuff. So I don't know, the landscape is changing so fast. It's very interesting to kind of see like what's happening. But I don't know. It's a lot of gourmets. There's a lot of psilocybin stuff starting to pop up. But again, there's like no, I guess, laws for DORA and DOR and how we're going to be taxing a lot of the stuff also. So, and that'll come in 2025 once licensing kind of gets rolled out and everything like that. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff on the horizon and the, you know, legality of certain things right now. So,
but you're following right along and preparing yourself for when. Yeah, that's awesome. Good to go. Can you talk a little bit about your business operations, products, services? Because you did mention you went from massage, which is really business to consumer. It's not really a lot of B2B unless you're like a commercial business, I would assume, and have like, you know, something like that. So like you went from B2B more, or I'm sorry, B2C to like B2B now. What is your, do you have a facility? And what is your day and weekly look like?
So, I mean, that's a good question. So I've had to pivot a lot like over the last year or so, but we have a shop in Aurora. That's like where I'm at right now. I'm upstairs in the office, and I'm realizing right now that I want to put up a bunch of artwork, kind of like what you have, because that's like looks really dope. Anyway, we have a shop here in Aurora, and we're mostly doing culture management skills. I'm planning on like kind of doing events where you can come here to the shop, inoculate things yourself, and bring home, you know, inoculated product for your own personal use.
Cool.
Because I think that's going to be a really big thing moving forward for people to cultivate their own medicine with somebody that knows that they can like reach out to and kind of talk to about like, you know, anything really, anything cultivation related, so that they can consume their own medicine, you know, and kind of take it along those routes instead of somebody else producing it for them. We're doing liquid culture and like blank blocks. We're kind of moving into getting colonized products, but there's still, you know, a lot of speculation on like the legality of having those things in a commercial, you know, facility and stuff like that. So I'm more tiptoeing on the legal routes of doing things. I do know there's a lot of people, you know, not really caring and just doing whatever. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of like the daily, making substrates, making LC, pulling syringes, you know, testing out genetics that, you know, over certain, you know, quality control over months of having it on the shelf, that kind of thing, and see like where it's at biological efficiency wise, and, you know, incorporating all the data that goes into like having a good product like that. So
a lot of biz dev, because the biz dev is really where you like can kind of establish your like what's scalable, and you don't want to just scale something you haven't done QC on. So that's good. You're doing, you're being meticulous and working on. I totally understand that. I'm interested, do you have any employees, or is it just you under there?
So it's just me right now. I've been kind of drafting a mentorship program type situation to kind of like bring some people. Like, I have one person that he's a little bit younger and wanting to kind of get it in the space and planning on going to maybe CU or DU or something like that. But like getting, you know, educated individuals that are wanting to be in the sciences and like actually working here is something that I've been planning on doing. It's only me right now. Kind of doing all the stuff, but I mean, seriously, one person can do a lot of stuff. It's like kind of insane, you know, and keeping like, I always, maybe it's just my massage background and like, you know, me just being that person in the massage background and like running that service-based company. Like Lean Startup was a huge book for me when I was reading like business developing my business back then. And it's talking about like, you know, making sure that you're as lean as possible so that you can reap the profits, you know, from everything and gradually add on, you know. So, so it's just me right now, but I have some helpers that come in every once in a while, which is pretty fun. So
I think you're right. I think individuals underestimate what they can do themselves and then, sell themselves short, because it's been myself for years. And that really, you know, helps to build your mindset, also your skill set around what you're good at, and, you know, helps you to teach you like where you can outsource and really just like what goes into it. Because I find what I'm seeing now, I can't really speak for anywhere, because I'm in Arizona doing things a little different now. Like, I've had to make a lot of pivots. I'm, you know, doing mostly and predominantly functional and gourmets now, but I've seen a lot of like capital, you know, risen businesses or corporations just getting, you know, millions of dollars into something, and they're hiring specialists, which is fine. But and I feel like if you really want your business to thrive, you kind of have to be able to step in to every position, as far as like the, you know, from obviously entrepreneur and down, you know, you're from your specialist to the management, all the way down to technician. You have to know all of those to be able to know like how and where to delegate all your responsibility. That'd be kind of cool to get some like mentees in there and teach them what's up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, man, if I had that opportunity, I would jump at it. If, you know, I had one mentor that I got to see twice, and he showed me his grow one time, and there was like, you know, 80 tubs in a room, and I was just like, oh my gosh. And he was doing that by himself. I was like, and he was cooking his own grain, making his own sub, and doing his own culture work. And I was like, okay, like, and to be able to see that as one man, one, you know, one man show, really showed me that I can do a lot. So I think that's a really good point. So with it being like a one man operation over there, what have been some of your biggest hurdles, maybe just in your overall development from where you started to where you're at now, what have been some of your biggest hurdles and obstacles you've overcome in that process?
I think it's just trying to link up with like the right like-minded people and like trust your gut as a business owner. I mean, just like, I don't know, kind of going back to like, I microdose most weeks and stuff like that. I haven't macrodosed in a really long time. It seems like because I do grow personally at my home, you know, since we're allowed to do that in Colorado. And giving that medicine out to people think that I'm like always consuming mushrooms. Like, no, not really. You know, I consume lion's mane every day, But I've taken enough journeys for myself that I've gotten what I needed out of it, like for that moment. You know, it doesn't mean that I wouldn't go to like maybe a ceremony and like incorporate mushrooms into a facilitated, you know, aspect with, you know, maybe my wife and I. I think it's just more of my psychedelic journey has like changed a lot on like what that kind of means, you know, just in general. But I don't know. I guess for here, it's things are like legal, and I don't think everyone understands that. You know, people do think that it's legal everywhere, but or like what's going on here. But I don't know. It's a little bit different. Like there's like processing information. You know, there's like what you're talking about with SOPs earlier, like how you're doing things, and you know, you're using air filtration. There's like so many things that go along with like making sure that the stuff that you're consuming is like okay for you. Like since I've been growing, I've always used like rye just because that was a staple. And I recently changed over to like using gluten-free grains. And then I started like kind of conceptualizing this idea of like, you know, maybe CBG is like a better option, and adding in less stuff that has heavy metals in it, you know, might be much better for like your gut and like what happens with the mushrooms that you're producing. And that goes hand in hand for gourmets and psychedelics and stuff, you know? I guess I just have a different, like my science background has definitely shaped like how I'm doing things now, you know? And I always talk about how I'm constantly failing, like all the time, you know, like I don't know everything because like, I just don't know everything. You know, I'm approaching 40. Like I've only been on here for 39 years, and I only know a certain amount of stuff that people have like said stuff, and I've tried and, you know, using that kind of information and stuff. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I kind of lost track of the question, and good at going on tangents.
You're flowing. The tangents are why you're here, and the tangents are where the tangents are where the golden nuggets are hidden. You said a couple things in there. I love that you said you're always failing, and many who don't get why that's like a compliment, because you have to. And I always talk about this just in my content or in my life, my personal life with family and friends. It's to fail forward, because you're not going to learn anything sitting back, taking, you know, an extreme amount of time and energy and attention to researching, to ensuring you have something done right so that you do it right the first time. Like, that's a cool method. I think there are maybe some other industries or things you can do where that's probably needed. But a lot of business for me is failing so I know what not to do. And a lot of time, you know, don't get butthurt if you mess something up. Like, you know, it's like I was just talking with a couple guys on how, like, when they scaled from like, you know, one grow room to the next, how having to modulate, you know, humidity, airflow, temperature, they did it wrong. They had like 100, 200 batch, you know, blocks go bad, like big mistake, and many would quit after. But because of that, they learned what was going wrong, and it allowed them to get into that new scaled position. So failing forward, you know, like nothing wrong with failure. And yeah, the tangents, dude, I go on tangents all the time too. It's like, it's part of it, man. No worries.
Yeah.
So it sounds like a lot of the hurdles were just like, you know, and you kind of already mentioned it once with you having to do it yourself too. But that's cool, because it kind of shows your character in that, like, you trust yourself enough to do these things and experiment. I'm interested to know, like, and you said, like, you take more of a science approach. Is that like utilizing the scientific method, or what did you mean by that?
So I'm very data driven. Like when I first entered college, I was wanting to be a plant like horticulturalist, but with an emphasis in fungi. But I don't even think that still exists though. I mean, the mycology department has probably gotten bigger, but I think it's like overwhelming. It's like wrapped within other curriculums. Anyway. Yeah, so I'm super data driven, science oriented. I think it's just because like I have no like basis of like, because different strains, especially cross species and stuff, have different effects of like what they do. And my favorite mushroom, like psychoactive mushroom to consume, would be pans, just because like I've had such good positive experiences with it. Just because like every time I would take cubes or whatever, like stomach ache, you know, I'd have all the kind of the bad side effects and stuff, which kind of shaped like my reason of getting into this space in the first place, because I guess maybe it was just like my like restaurant background, like being a chef cook, not chef, but like a cook, prep cook type situation.
Yeah.
And then morphing it into like my like science based mindset. But yeah, like the scientific method is huge. I think that is always helping us guide things, hypothesize things, you know, collect data, collect meaningful data. You know, you can't just say that. I have seen this a lot where the N equals one experiment is like the end all be all for all the information that's kind of going on. It's like the bro science thing for like the you know, lifting community and stuff, you know, like you got to do this one protocol and it's the one thing that you have to do. And that's just me like being I did CrossFit and, you know, like just traditional weightlifting, like all that kind of stuff, just because of that, my massage background and everything. But yeah, like just collecting more data, making sure that the data is like accurate and even across the board so that you can get an idea of what's going on. And then that, I guess that kind of like pushed into like researching the actual like psychoactive mushrooms into like how they're affecting our bodies and like what they're doing for our bodies and what forms are doing certain things and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's I'm like super into numbers. I'm a math nerd at heart. And the scientific, you know, principles like apply very much so to like kind of what we're doing. And I feel like that's kind of neglected most of the time, you know, like they're just going from hypothesis to conclusion with nothing in between. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, but
yeah. I think a very important aspect you kind of alluded to is like drug nutrient interaction. And across the board, it's so different. Like I have had friends and family ask, you know, when I'm gifting, like, what does this one make me feel? Well, what it makes me feel is not going to make, first of all, there's like different enzymatic processes. Like you maybe had like a steak last night and maybe I had a bunch of berries this morning. Like we're going to have totally different, you know, enzymes in our bellies and our stomachs. Really depends upon the variety, the amount taken, you know, something that's huge is mood and how you're interpreting, you know, reality at the time you take these. So it's interesting you mentioned PANS. I've yet to experience or even try to grow PANS. I know it's a different process. I know what I need to do it, but I haven't done it yet. When you say you've had good experiences, I know they're supposedly and much, much, much stronger than your cubensis varieties. But how experientially or how are they different? Or have you noticed any like big differentials?
Oh, man. Yeah. So I don't know how to be able to explain it because I've tried PANS Sclerotia tapenesis, truffles, and then sclerotia, pretty much like any type of sclerotia I've tried, like just it, but that's not really great either because you have to like soak it in tea because they're usually, I don't know, they're not great. But like PANS are way lighter in your stomach. It's like more like upbeat, you know. There are some cupensis that are like that, but I haven't tried them. I've gifted out stuff and people are like, yeah, it makes me feel like really happy. And I do think that there's like some kind of entourage effect that goes along with the tryptamines and the terpenes that they just found out. I think Felix like linked something on something like that. But yeah, that. I mean, like there's all of this crazy information. Like Alan Rockefeller was on some of those posts on IG, but like that kind of information is like what I like. I love it so much just because like that can give us a better idea. Like it's the same thing with cannabis, you know, like they found all these different things that were in cannabis and now there's all these like synthetic stuff that kind of came out. Yeah. But I think it's the same thing with like some of these other, like these tryptamines that are in the mushroom, you know, that are shaping the effect. I mean, there's Amanita muscaria that has like certain other, you know, same array of, you know, things. I think it's like butanol or whatever, but yeah, I mean, that fascinates me just because of like a, you know, what you're saying up before, like drug body interaction, you know, is huge. Like the pharmacology and the way that we ingest it and like how it affects our body and, you know, it's going to be different from somebody fasting 36 hours to 24 to 12 to 10 to 5 to, you know, yep. one, or if they're eating it with like soup or something like that because they can't yep. do whatever, you know what I mean? So, yep. Yeah, dude, the pans, I think it's just because I've had the least amount of side effects to get the most amount of it. And the conversion of tryptamines to biomass is so small. It's like, it just boggles your mind. And you're just like, you eat this tiny little blood amount and it's like, you know,
wow.
like so yeah. crazy. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I'm actually working on my own projects to kind of bring back some spore prints that I have of different exotic species. Cause that stuff really fascinates me way more than the cubensis, cause cubensis are super easy to grow. And maybe, you know, I say that now and most people are like, I'm having so much trouble, you know, but like once you like learn the principles of like what's going on, it's very easy, you know,
yeah.
especially with like what's going on in the market today with lots of vendors, you know, plenty of places to find, you know, products that you can use and like start growing yourself, you know. But yeah, the mind body connection like always fascinates me, like how this interacts with like down in our body and how it, you know, as it goes in, just I don't know, like fascinates me. So
I'll have to get on the pan train here soon. I've seen many texts for it. Again, I just haven't tried it. It seems, I feel like once I do, I'm gonna fall in love with it, and I have
I
so
think
many
it's easy. Yeah, I think it's the same kind of all those things are grass species, you know. It might just need like some more nutrients and like,
yeah,
you know, just minor things. But like pans in like the Koh Samui Islands in Thailand, like probably grow the same as the Koh Samui like cube mushrooms. You know what I mean? So they're like similar. So it just makes me think that it's, you could probably just do it in all one bag, or even, you know, I've seen people just growing all across the board and every kind of substrates, you know, there's like Facebook, groups out there that are just posting a lot of their, like what they're using and stuff. And it seems like it doesn't matter, you know, it's just like when people overcomplicate like growing cubes or any other mushroom, you know, like it's going to do its thing. Just let it just, even if you just left it there, it probably would start fruiting on anything that it was on. You know what I mean?
Sure. So. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely a project to get into. Something I'm heavily invested in right now and getting results in is Cordyceps militaris, and I'm really, really excited about it, man. It's like slightly different process, obviously, but like you said earlier, to digress a bit, I haven't macrodosed. I don't know if it's surprising. Like people, like, you know, you tell them you're a mushroom grower or enthusiast or whatever, and they just assume you're taking mushrooms every weekend kind of thing. That is not the case, man. Just like you said, like I really, not that I've gotten everything I can get out of the mushrooms, but I've taken probably, if I had to guess, probably like within, you know, 30 trips or so, maybe, you know, slightly less, slightly over. I can't put it to it, but I don't even really microdose anymore. I've really grounded a lot of the experience and expandedness that I got from those experiences. Now it's like I utilize the, you know, he had mentioned like, for like weeks at a time, you felt like that relief. Well, after some time, you get used to that relief and you learn how to incorporate that relief into your daily. And from there, you can operate at a different level because you're not being held back by traumas, things of that nature, or just like negative mindset. So, yeah, but I'm really intrigued by, you know, I took what, 2 grams of Cordyceps militaris and like an hour later worked out and was blown away at just like my physiology, biology, just doing that. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. So,
yeah,
I'm interested, but I'm also interested in, you know, you've talked on data. So what are some of the, like your most important data points, data sets that you're avidly collecting or looking at in your systems right now? Or how do you log that and how do you improve that?
So that is a really good question. So I was working with Mining City Mushroom. He's a Reddit moderator on the MycoBazaar. We're both like, I think moderators are on there still. But like he kind of turned me onto this whole manufacturing, tracking system, so to speak, of like how to be able to take like data sets of like what you're doing so that it's not extrapolated out all the time. Which was like really pivotal in me like collecting the right kind of data that I'm trying to run. And since we like, at least for me, like I know the inputs that I'm putting in and how much like converting you know, the strains that I have on file, like that I'm using to track data points, like what's the biological efficiency on this block size versus this one, terrarium size, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And a lot of like my data collection over the last like year or so has just been mainly experimenting, you know, mainly with bag tech and finding out like, okay, well, if you do this one thing and at this ratio, what kind of happens? It's been standardized, like for the most part, to kind of see like what's going on data wise. But yeah, I mean, it's been really influential on like how to be able to tell if there's senescence going on with the culture or like anything that I might need to do culture management wise and all that kind of stuff. I also, like, I'm a huge, like, I'm very much into trying to use less stuff because as a substrate provider, dude, like it's insane how much plastic we use. And I don't like it. I mean, that's pretty much it. Just because like with plates and like all the other plastic stuff that we're using, it's just like really, it kind of hurts me. Cause I don't like putting that kind of stuff out there. And I know that people are using stuff like very quickly just because they can get it. You know what I mean? And that's kind of like why I like the whole bag tech, because it's like, you could potentially, if you wanted to, you could probably put those into tubs if you wanted to, you know, after they colonize in the bag. But it's like, even with tubs, like I've thought about how thick the layers of plastic are, how many I've broken in the time that I've been running bags. Like, you know, there's like all these kind of things that are like, thoughts and like ruminating on like the industry, like, you know, is this okay? Like, you know, that kind of stuff also.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, the data stuff is like massive. Trying to find out the biological efficiency on things, like what happens from first flush to second flush. Like, you know, finding out like if you're using a larger bag, you know, like it can literally sit on the shelf for like months if you let it, and it'll produce mushrooms for you. And which kind of like segues into like me, like the cultivation market, you know, kind of like how cannabis is in most states. I just don't see that happening I just don't think it should happen with mushrooms, or not maybe should, but like, I just don't see it happening, you know? Cause it just kind of creates this whole like underground situation, and you know, people just, it's much easier if like you're producing your own kind of medicine, but some people just don't have the like, bandwidth for that. And they want something like on the fly and all that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, I mean, it's mostly just trying to limit my, the amount of stuff I'm using, and like, I guess just kind of prove that, you know, you could grow mushrooms at any point at, you know, like with a culture, like if it was fresh or not, like hopefully it doesn't senesce out over the time span that you have it. But that's why we, you know, you and I do like the work that we do with like culturing things out and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, I just noticed that I have these like huge things of plates all the time, like all the time. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Like half of these are just kind of going bad, and you know, I can't give them out fast enough. So like, why am I overpopulating this amount of stuff? And
because
like, dude, syringes will last. I've seen syringes last up to like 4 to 5 years at this. I've heard they'll last up to 10 years. And from my own experience, I've had stuff sit on the shelf out in, you know, throughout the seasons for like 2 years, and they've been fine. It's better if they're refrigerated, but like all this stuff kind of plays into like, you know, how big of a footprint we make as the industry and kind of where it's going to go. It'd be awesome if we had like corn bags and stuff that could, you know, be all right in autoclaving, and, you know, it wasn't as detrimental in the, you know, environment. But
yeah,
I mean, I guess my own thing was we went to Thailand, and like the water is like filled with trash, dude, like with just plastic bags everywhere. And I just, it just is sad. You know, we kind of see it here, but you know, we don't. It's odd. So
you're totally right, man. That's, I mean, that was my biggest thing with the transition from tubs to bag tech was, I mean, like there are some, you know, there's a lot of pros and cons. Essentially, like, you know, obviously you don't have to clean out the tubs. That's great because cleaning tubs sucks. But then there was that plastic usage of the liner, which essentially a lot of time is like a one use thing, stretches and rips when you're removing the cake anyway. And then with bags, there is the possibility you can reuse these. Like if you're, I guess, sealing the bag super, you know, close to the top, you know, you probably can get like two, maybe three before like there's like some crazy.
I've gotten three until it started getting too brittle, until you could like not use it. But yeah, I mean, this is, it's like, but how much, like if you're doing that at scale, that would suck, you know, at least like for somebody, for most people that are doing it, you know. But yeah, yeah. I mean, there definitely are all these pros and cons that go to both sides, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, I think there will be, you know, I think that the market's open for innovations like that always.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking with, I had Agar Boy on for my last episode.
Oh, and cool.
And he has the Myco liners, and those are like, you know, I believe they're biodegradable, like a corn-based, you know, kind of like plastic product.
Interesting.
That's a corner of the market. Like, I'm not into petroleums or the science of plastic, and I can't like really quantify what takes or what goes into that, but I'm sure we'll see some innovations. That's kind of why I like the cordyceps too, in a way, because like I'm reusing my containers, but even those deli containers, so to speak, you know, warp, things like that, I'm gonna have to buy some eventually. But yeah, the footprint of mycology, unfortunately, is pretty, yeah, it, there's a lot of plastic usage, of course, but these are all hurdles we're all kind of facing at the same time, I guess. But So, man, when you're not doing mycology, what do you do out there in Colorado? You know, you have all four seasons. I went out to Denver probably like 5 or 6 years ago, or whenever the cannabis market was really like starting out or legalized. And I went to a shop downtown. Like, you had to go like downstairs to get into it. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. And took my phone out, coming from Washington State. And like, you know, it's just like whatever. Took my phone out to record and got yelled at by like security guards, the bud tenders. I was like, oh my God, I'm sorry, you know. But yeah, so I haven't really seen much of Denver. I went to the Red Rock Amphitheater for a concert. It's a really cool place. How long have you been there?
Oh man, yeah. So my wife and I moved back. I was born and raised here, and I was like had most of my not most of my like childhood memories. So it was like, this is home for me because The mountains are here, and you know, and all that stuff. We moved to Missouri, and whole life happened. Then we moved back to Colorado in like 2017, 2017. And then we've been out here ever since. Yeah, dude. I mean, hiking, camping, car camping has been a big thing that we like to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's like so much stuff. Like I've been like business mode, like hardcore for the last few years, just because the amount of money that I can contribute back to our family has been really huge, more so than what massage was doing. Because massage, I was just like burnt out all the time just to kind of make it happen.
Yeah.
But I still like, I love to use that knowledge to be able to help people like get, you know, out of pain, or at least like realize like what's kind of going on. But yeah, I mean, I think we're going to be starting to try and I'm coordinating with some other artists to like bring some events, like daylight events, like microdosing events with music and maybe some breath work and some stuff like that. We still have to figure out like what all that means, like legally, because there's an issue with like paying for something and then gifting out something for free based on like kind of what's happening. You know what I mean? So like,
interesting.
Because there's been some stuff in the news where somebody was like, literally, they had like a sheet of paper and it said like, you're paying for these services, but you get this amount of mushrooms. And it's like, well, that's literally like against the law. You can't do that. You can't. It just doesn't work that way. So there's creative ways of like, Travis Fluck, I think his last name is. But he did a gifting portal, which was really cool. It was a whole entirely free event. A bunch of people came, and you know, I kind of want to get more into like that kind of vibe of things, of like, you know, maybe teaching people how to microdose, or like what microdose is used for, and like my take on it, and you know, give out information for free like that. But there is like this whole like paid part where we want to incorporate like artists and people that need to get paid for their services for like, you know, hosting events. So it's like, it's just more so trying to figure out like how we're going to do that kind of stuff.
Interesting.
I don't know. I DJ, or I don't DJ, but I like to spin records at home and stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't even know. I used to work out a lot. I really haven't done that very much. I'm trying to get my barbell up here and then get some plates. That's kind of why I was asking you about plates on IG like recently, because I was like,
Yeah.
I might as well start deadlifting at the shop and everything.
Bro, that's what I'm talking about.
So, dude, well, it's like I'm here all the fucking time anyway. Oh, sorry, I'm here
No,
all
you're
the
good.
time anyway.
No,
Oh,
it's
okay,
part of the podcast.
cool.
No worries.
Sweet. So like I'm like at the shop anyway. It's like, man, I could like, I could get in some sets of stuff that I know that would help me like physically so that I don't feel so run down all the time,
Yeah,
Because like, dude,
definitely.
stress is like insane with how like running a business, dude. Like I've like worked for people and stuff and I like took that for granted, Like having
Yeah.
no real worries about things. Like being a contractor and everything was even more of like a awakening because like I never like having to keep track of your own insurance or like not insurance, but like your taxes and stuff and from each paycheck, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's just been really interesting kind of like seeing everything kind of evolve. But yeah, I mean, hosting events here, like maybe having people come by to like lift or something like that,
Yeah.
just like small like gathering type things to like just build more community and awareness to like what's going on with everything. Because like seems like just mushrooms in general is like kind of getting this new awakening of everything. And people are like seeing it as more health and wellness than, getting fucked up, Because most
Yeah.
of the background that I come from being in the festival circuits and, like string cheese, fish, dead, all that kind of stuff, like
Yeah.
it's more about like doing it to like get messed up, which is not really how I've ever seen it. You know what I mean?
Same.
Like I've never seen psychedelics as like that, I've definitely done my share of partying on them and everything,
Sure.
because I am like a psychonaut at heart.
Yeah.
But I'm getting way more out of like the intention building and like digesting it afterwards and like kind of breaking it apart into like conversation or at least like with me like putting it into some kind of media, like whether we're recording or whatnot.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think I had a revelation when I had a bufo ceremony with my wife and it was like a bunch of other people. And
Wow.
that's like the river toad that you can 5-MeO-DMT.
Yep.
And like that experience just in that set and setting with the intentions that we crafted in that moment was extremely like eye-opening to me. I'm like, what this stuff does for people, Like it just I don't even know. It's like magical, Like it just melts all these things away and helps us like deal with humanity and like cultivate better practices as humans. And not everyone has that experience, Like, but it's like I want to be able to create that more for people, Like the safe places and I've been hearing a lot of stuff about like facilitators taking advantage of people and it's like, oh my God, this like disgusting,
Yeah.
Like it just doesn't resonate with like how this should kind of be going down. But there's going to be that in the space. There always is, There's
Yeah.
always people that are going to prey on people. But like I feel like my job is to be able to give back what I've learned over the last 20, 25 years of cultivating and
Yeah.
my experiences is like being using these psychedelics to be able to help people know that there is like safe places out there that you
Yeah.
can trust like certain people to, fully release, because that fully release is like what it is. That's it to me is like what it's all kind of all about.
Right.
Shedding yourself, becoming a new person, enlightenment, all the buzzwords, blah, blah, blah. So,
Yeah.
but yeah, I mean, it's all like, yeah, just more holistic, I guess, in nature.
Yeah, half of the like healing experience is to be able to allow yourself to be vulnerable enough to let the medicines open you and direct you in the way that you need to go anyway. So, unfortunately, I have heard of more than a few instances specifically around ayahuasca ceremonies where, young women and men were being taken advantage of, which is the last fucking thing we need. It gives
Yeah, I
everybody
know.
in the space such a bad name. But obviously that karma plays out and they get pushed out of the space, hopefully. But I think it's really cool that you have a space. This year I'm particular working on finding a commercial space to start doing, like let my house be my house. Like instead of like having the lab room or growing my cordyceps and it's cold, just like, let it be a room for a baby or something in the future. But yeah, to have people come, I think it's really cool for events and stuff, that you want to do. It's really also just, sponsored by you, brand awareness. And hopefully, it'll lead into some like forever customers, opportunities and things like that too. I think that's a really cool opportunity to have. How many of your local friend group, or I mean, I know like myself, I don't really make a lot of time for social interaction, perhaps the weekend when I'm going out to get food with my girlfriend or family, things like that. But Monday through Friday, generally, I'm, you know, pecking away here at the podcast, making content for the patrons or doing something lab related, you know, running the pressure cookers, et cetera. What is your what does your like local friend group look like? Do you have like fellow entrepreneurs, or you still make time for, you know, friends you grew up with?
I mean, I made some time. There's a Tribes 3. Like, I'm a big gamer also. I like play a lot of Counter-Strike too. I was like a big Tribes player back in the day. So this is like when esports started becoming a huge thing, and like Unreal was happening, Quake, all that kind of stuff. I made some time to like play with some people from back home, you know, to play the Tribes 3. I think it's a alpha test or whatever. But I try to do that. I've been creating more community around like gaming kind of, but also with, I don't know, like I have some people that were, you know, I'm kind of doing projects with here. I've been wanting to kind of get to the NOAC Society meetings, which is like a group here that throws like psychedelic, like, events like at night for people. I just can't like, I can't play it like at all. Like it's, I can barely stay up until like 8, 9 o'clock now. It's like, I feel like such an old man. Because I'm waking up at like 4:30, 5 o'clock, and you know, because I'm trying to get my day going and everything.
Yep.
So, and that's kind of like why I'm kind of building the, you know, there are people that are like reaching out that live here and like wanting to kind of put certain things on that are more more, I guess, health and wellness based instead of like drinking, you know, because like most of the times drinking is a social lubricant for most people. Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking about like trying to do something with the shop to where we can like maybe host some kind of event here to kind of use the space, because we're planning on like outsourcing most of the substrates to a place out in California at some point, or maybe local, like near here. Well, not near here, but it's like way too expensive to like kind of produce substrates at scale here. Like, unless you have the kind of funding and like manual labor, like task force, like it makes more sense. But there's other places out there that I've seen personally that are way more established, like infrastructure wise. It's like, yeah, I would love to keep making substrates, but like, what is the point if like I know that I can have somebody, you know, pretty much produce it, you know? So yeah, I mean, it's more like getting into like the groove of like being in the community more instead of like being a slave to like substrates or, you know, constantly pulling things and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, there's a lot of people here, dude. There's like, I try to keep up with people like, you know, over text and everything to, you know, keep friendships alive and everything. But I don't know, like it's wintertime now. Like it just started snowing. Like there's a bunch of snow on the ground. So it's like, yeah, it's, seems like it's like hunkering down more now that it's going to probably start snowing over the next few weeks. But I guess I've just been so engrossed with like doing business and like trying to progress things to be able to add more value for people. Yep. That like, I've kind of been a hermit, like hardcore. And like, we actually lost our family dog like in October. I think I told you about that, but like, it was like, dude, it was the roughest thing I've ever had to go through. Like I put down a cat before in college and like, that was really rough, but this was, she was like my ride or die bitch, like every day, like she'd just be with me and you know, like that kind of stuff. Like I never realized that it was going to hurt that much, you know? And, I've done all like a bunch of my healing and everything. We've, you know, my wife went through like a really hard time, cause that was her baby from like her 20s, her mid 20s. And it's just rough, but like kind of creating more space to like kind of progress our lives as, you know, people has been really helpful. And I kind of made the intention for 2024 to be more health and wellness based so that I can like give back to myself instead of like constantly grinding every day, you know? So, that's been like a huge thing. Just kind of like, you know, being kinder to myself and do that stuff. But yeah, I've been wanting to reach out to more people that are like up in Fort Collins and Loveland and, you know, out in Boulder, but you know, gas costs money and everything. And it's hard to like, you know, constantly be, you know, in the loop with all these events kind of going on, you know? But yeah, I mean, I guess there's that. But I've also been following the natural medicines board meeting for Colorado like every week that they're having them, and like recording the meetings just so that I kind of have like a refresh on like what's been being discussed and everything.
Interesting.
So that's been taking up a lot of time because the
Yeah.
meetings are anywhere from like 3 to 4 hours, or anywhere from like 3 to 5 hours, I think, sometimes. So it's like, and that's like 3 days out of the week, you know? So that like completely drains you because I'm trying to like listen while I make substrates and kind of digest what's going on, so that I can figure out like what, you know, we should maybe focus on as Colorado manufacturers or, you know, even substrate providers and stuff like that. So, yeah, long-winded way of saying that I've been like a massive hermit, but I have been
Sure.
like keeping in touch with like a bunch of people, at
Yeah.
least, you know. So.
Man, that's totally understandable. I think for those who are important and are meant to be in your life, they will understand the distance and accept it because they know what you're doing is for a good cause, first and foremost. But two, like at our, I mean, I'm 33 here soon. I'm getting like I have a patch of gray hair here. I've got a couple in my beard. Like I don't, I mean, I realize I don't have a an infinite amount of time and or energy. Like you said, like you go to bed, you know, like I went to an event for New Year's and I was like, hold
Oh, man.
myself up. You can only have so much caffeine, so many like sugar insulin spikes to keep yourself up. Like, and I was up until, you know, midnight and then had an hour drive home. I'm just like, I can't do that stuff, man. Like, so I get that. So that coupled with, you know, the attention and energy you put to progressing your knowledge base also to biz dev, local legality, you know, what's happening in your industry. Like if someone doesn't understand it, it's yeah, that's fine. No worries. Like they're not meant to be probably in your life anyway. You know, I totally get that. So I'm always interested to ask other entrepreneurs like that question in particular because it kind of affirms for me that like I mean, I'm not antisocial by any means. I'm super introverted. I have a very short, you know, social battery, but I also just want like so much for myself and for my family, man. Like, and it's hard to be out and about and doing all these, you know, super social events when you got to grind. Like, there's only one thing to do, and that's to do it, you know? So I totally understand that, you know? And you mentioned like health and wellness. It's a huge part of my life. And like I was in the, I did back today. It was a back day and I was sloughing today, but I got in there anyway. I'm interested to know some of the other modalities that you incorporate into your life just to kind of like, I always call it like keeping my head above water because I find that if I don't do these things, I'm either in some level of anxiety or depression and I'm like in a hole and I have to like pull myself out. So you had mentioned breath work. Like what all do you do in your life or what all have you done and that you're interested in?
So, oh man, yeah, I've learned a lot of really cool things, just from the whole, I guess, like working out background. And there's a place in first things, and not everyone is like predispositioned to have great genetics also, you know, like some of us are just better at, you know, aerobic type activities versus like, you know, being like huge, you know, shit brick houses or whatever, and like
Yeah. Right.
huge, you know, power lifter type thing.
Yeah.
I guess like massage is a huge one. Like I self-massage myself. Like I actually, you can see the roller that I have and the lacrosse ball. Like I use those a lot.
Yeah.
Because I'm usually like hunched over, especially like doing computer work and stuff. Like it's mostly like carpal tunnel stuff, like up in my arm. But yeah, like that kind of stuff. Yeah, I mean, modality wise, like I was, I meditate sometimes, but I actually found out that I have a thing called aphantasia, which is where it's like a varying degree of like being able to visualize in your mind. And this is actually a really like recent term that I found out was a thing. But like I have a, when I think of something, like when somebody tells me to visualize something, it's just like kind of there. It's like a mash of colors. Some people can literally see the vivid thing in their mind and can see it like a projector. I don't have that ability. It's more of like colors and feelings that go along with that one thing. And I found out that like for me to get in a meditative state is like really easy. I can do it like insanely fast. Like I can just like chill out and stop my mind. Which is like interesting because I can tell like when my mind is like ramping up and you know you start ruminating on things and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean like big deep breaths in most of the time, through the nose. I talk a lot about like mouth breathing and how that's like, you know, not something to kind of reinforce, just because like we have mm-hmm. this is used to like filter out a lot of the stuff in our environment and everything.
Yep. Exactly.
And so that's a big thing. I don't know. I mean, my modality of choice when I was doing massage was Thai massage. Mm. Just because it was so immersive for my own body, and I was able to like not feel like I was like, you know, because like when you have a table, you're like hunched over all the time, and you can kind of like, you know, change your position and everything. But just Thai massage is just like way more immersive, at least for me as a therapist.
Yeah, definitely.
Doing a lot of that and incorporating breath work. We're actually getting our house redone now, and the room where all the tools are right now was like our like Thai massage like area, so I could massage my wife and she could massage on me. Mm-hmm. Hopefully once the project is done, we can kind of get back to that and start, you know, incorporating that into our regular routine. But like, I definitely can feel it like on myself. I'm like not taking care of myself. But yeah, I mean, I was a big meditator for a long time, mm-hmm. Which I know that I definitely need to like start bringing back into my practice. But like, this goes back to like my intentions for 2024 is like, you know, realizing that I need to incorporate that stuff and at least do it, you know, every once in a while. And I mean, I try to eat more of like a whole foods diet mostly also.
Yep.
I've noticed that like processed stuff always makes me really depressed. I've noticed that gluten makes me kind of depressed. You know, there's a bunch of like soy also, like I'll get really like moody on soy. But it's like I've cultivated this way of like noticing things about myself, and this might be neurodivergent or whatever, but like I notice these things that affect my mind and how I'm like processing things and all that kind of stuff. And I try to incorporate that into like my daily living and everything. I'm like, you know, I'm human, you know, I'll go out to McDonald's or something like that and eat some stuff, you know, I'm totally like, just kind of like stuff like that, you know, like just trying to use the things that I've learned over the years of, you know, being alive and what produces the best outcome and the most steady, you know, output, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm a lot like you. I'm super introverted. I have a very small social battery also. Mm-hmm. Mine is a little bit larger than my wife's, but my wife, you know, likes to go out and, you know, talk to people and everything. I'm just like not that kind of person. Like I like to talk to people, but I'm very introverted. You know, I like to play video games and I've always been like that. So,
yeah, definitely.
But it's like kind of creating community around that, because I did that kind of in high school when I was playing video games like really aggressively. And there's like, you can create this like sense of like what you want out of something based on like what your, you know, your body and your mental stamina can allow, you know, just like really interesting to see like in this day and age. So,
so it sounds like you've like gotten to a point where you're well-rounded. You said neurodivergent. To me, it just seems like awareness. You just get to know yourself over time.
Yeah.
And especially when you have things that are super important to you, that you're like, I have like maybe I would say 3 or 4 things that I'm directing or channeling or like my bandwidth to on a daily. And I notice if I'm deficient in any aspect of mental physicality or just emotionality, you know, and I have ways to augment that or regulate that now. But I totally agree. We're very similar in a lot of ways, man. It's really cool to be able to connect with you in that way too. Cause, yeah, I mean, I just recently learned about like, have you heard of human design by chance?
Mm-hmm.
So essentially it's, something, I guess something for you to YouTube later, but, I learned that there's like 5 of them. I don't know that I'm inspired to get someone on the podcast who knows more about it than I do. There's like projector, generator, manifesting generator, reflector, and there's like one more. I almost had all 5, but it's basically like, you can go to, you know, I'll send you a link after this. Actually, you just put in your birth time, your birthplace, and essentially like, I'm not a numerology guy so much. I'm not really like an astrology guy, but this is kind of a different aspect of like identifying. We all have that universal energy, obviously, like we're all filled with life force, but from the time we come into reality, we're kind of compressed. It's kind of like stamped, you know, with our like our motherboard of how our energy moves within our system and how to better utilize and leverage it. So I'm a projector. You know how you were talking about how you visualize things? Like when I visualize something, I can see it for sure. So mm-hmm. we all differentiate, and we can learn to leverage in like the way my energy is. I have like so much of it I can utilize during the day. Doesn't mean I can't like create, like my girlfriend who's like a generator. She's like a workhorse. She can just go and go and go, and her brain works that way too. But I'm interested to see yours.
That sounds super fascinating.
Yeah. I'll send you the website. I'll text it to you after this. But I'm kind of asking about modalities and things like that, because I do know that, like I just mentioned, you have to learn to kind of like regulate yourself, keep yourself above water, keep yourself at par to be able to operate and to maintain things, especially as like a, I wouldn't say solo entrepreneur, like, but just as, you know, any kind of a business owner or mm-hmm. operator. I'm also interested in your mindset. You seem like you have a really clear head on your shoulders, and you're like very articulate, you know, very intelligent kind of guy. What influences built your mindset today? And like, you have a core set of belief systems that kind of drive that. What does that look like for you?
Oh man. So I would say that Alexander Shulgin was like a huge inspiration. I read PCAL and TCAL. And like that shaped my understanding of like substance interaction with the psyche. And,
gotcha.
You know, mushrooms was kind of like the thing that stimulated this for sure. But like that thought process really intrigued me, because it was like, holy crap. There's like, if you go in the back of PCAL and TCAL, there's a glossary of like maybe thousands of analogs of different things. And okay. like, just understanding that and knowing like what Alexander Shulgin tested on himself and synthesized himself, and then, you know, tried to see like, and then reported like what was going on. So I would say like Alexander Shulgin was a huge influence. My mom, just because of her work ethic and mm-hmm. being a single mother, was huge. And like, yeah, I mean, I would say maybe those two. My wife is a huge inspiration, because she's been carrying, like, I've been building this business, and she's been helping me kind of like me live this dream while honing her own, you know, career set. She got her esthetician license, which I'm super proud of her doing. Cool. And she's working in a department that is going to further her skill set, like as an esthetician and as a person that's interested in like what she's doing and at the hospital and everything. Wow. So like, yeah, I mean, it's like really, she's a registered nurse. So, it's the work ethic that goes behind that kind of stuff, you know, even with her, like having to go through COVID, you know, like, and how much burnt out there was, you know, like that was ridiculous. Yeah. Like I was burned out and I wasn't even like working that much, you know? So, I would say those three. And I mean, just having like internal dialogue with myself and conceptualizing things. I don't know. The internet taught me a lot of stuff. It's kind of sad to say, but it taught me a lot of really, really interesting ways to be able to like interpret your environment and like, you know, what I've done. I feel like I should have died like many, many times. Like just because of my risky behavior and stuff. But college was a crazy time, and I learned a lot of stuff, but you know, it always kind of went back to mushrooms and everything. But
Great. Great answer. I'm also interested, overall, I mean, God, we touched on so many things here. I probably could talk to you I wish that I was like a hop, skip and jump away from you, man. You seem like someone I'd want to go and do some deadlifts with, you know, myself.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
Yeah. And also too, like, you know, for future events, like, if you hold anything, I'd love to show up, dude. I'm trying to really make it a thing this year where I'm going to the Entheogenics Expo here, February 17th coming up. Really excited about that.
Where's that?
It's in San Diego.
San Diego. Yeah. See, this is kind of what I'm trying to get to. Like, I want to be able to go to these places, because these types of conversation push the envelope so much more than kind of like what I'm doing right now, you know, because I don't know. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, mostly it's like about brand awareness, but there's also going to be a lot of other, you know, business owners there, other influencers, and so many opportunities come like like, this is cool, like getting to like see your face, talk to you, get to learn about you, you know, in a short amount of time. But when you're with someone face to face, there's this different, you know, energy that happens that gets cultivated, and so many new ideas. And I'm really excited to hopefully, like, I think I hopefully might speak, you know, fingers crossed, at the SciCon event in, oh snaps, there's one in Vegas and one in Denver this year as well. I'm hoping to do that as well. But yeah, more or less, just like, I can only do it so much myself. And like the teamwork makes the dream work, kind of thing. Does that make sense? You know?
Yeah.
So let's see, getting towards some of like my lasting questions here. I asked you kind of about your mindset and things of that nature. I really want to know, as like what I would consider like a subject matter expert, and like a, you know, you're doing this every day, so you're in it to win it. What are some of like a handful, or just maybe the few that come to your mind, like pro tips or golden nuggets that you can share with everybody that they can take along with them as far as mycology, mushroom, or business, or just, you know, or any just like enlightening words that you have?
Yeah, I mean, what is it? There's like a thing where it's like you put in like 1,000 hours or something like that, or 10,000 hours, into some kind of skill set, and then like you can say you're a master, something like that. There's some kind of saying, like,
I've heard. Right.
There's that, and then mastering your skill set, like as a mycologist, really understanding the principles that kind of go along with it. Essentially, I boiled it down to, we're literally just putting water into something. And then from my like background, because I've used pasteurized substrates and all that kind of stuff, like I always sterilize things. So it's the main principle is you're adding water into things to help mushrooms grow. Okay? Literally, yep. It can be anything, paper balls, like, you know, and then you sterilize them, whatever. Water, you know, with dextrose in it, you know, that's going to grow mushrooms. So like keeping it simple, because there's always the KISS thing on all the posts and stuff, chaos, and keeping it simple. And I mean, for mycology specific, it's literally putting water into something, and like you just have to like let the mushroom do its thing. Doesn't matter if there's more or less, not overcomplicating it, knowing that you're going to fail, and dealing with how much failure you're dealing with, you know, like if you can, I think I said this earlier, you know, like I've been failing a lot, but like it's mostly just because like you want to limit your failure down to a very small percentage, you know, like I can do 2 plates now and not worry about it. If I lose one, oh well, like I have one. I mean, even if from that lost plate, you could probably salvage the culture all the time. Yep. You know, there's just different techniques of understanding what to do in the lab and how you're doing and everything, and like how you should isolate it and all blah, blah, blah. Keep it super simple and just try not to like reinvent the wheel, you know, that, and we're literally adding water to things to help the mushrooms grow, and just leave it alone. You know, the mushrooms will do their thing and they'll go through their life cycle the way that they need to, you know? So it was a really long answer, but, it's like, those are like my main things that I live by. Like now, it's kind of weird. So.
No, it's true. Yeah, keep it super simple. And you had mentioned it earlier, and there might have been a few people who were flustered, but they'll get it eventually. Like it is really easy to grow mushrooms in a sense.
Yeah.
Now scaling and bringing in equipment and doing all that, taxes, that's different.
Yeah.
But you know, to grow a bag or a tub, like you do it a couple times, you're gonna have some success if you know, like you said, the principles, the basics, you know, of it, and you can only do that by keeping it super simple. So I think that's just like, you know, I've had similar answers on the podcast, and I don't care how many times I hear it, because if there's that one person who's listening and they've heard it 7 times and they finally go, maybe I'm overcomplicating things, then they learn. So, you know, so it's
let me take it from like this huge list to like maybe like a little bit like this, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Zero it down.
Exactly. Yeah. So I have a couple lasting questions. This question I ask everybody that I interview on the show. You can answer it short form, long form. It's basically an interpret as you may. And that is, Bradford of Mushroom Champs in Colorado, in what ways, day to day, are you growing in mind, body, spirit, and mushroom?
Feel like I am growing like from the mushroom in my mind through my spirit, essentially. I'm letting the mushroom guide me, essentially, into helping my spirit and my mind kind of follow in a way. Because I've been really adamant on just focusing on like kind of what's going on in the movement, you know, and that's that's creating all this opportunity and all this like this right now, like this podcast, like this is huge. Like this is, I love talking like with people that are intellectual enough and all that, you know, to be able to like have conversation around everything, you know, that that matters and this needs to happen more. And like we're like the people that are like the next people, you know what I mean? Of the kind of movement, it seems like. And that's like super special to be a part of. And I think that's like huge. So I'm letting the mushroom guide me and mind and spirit. So
that's great. Yeah. I was having a conversation yesterday with a friend about how in my early stages of growing mushrooms, I was so stumped. And maybe this is a pro tip kind of like connected to what we were just saying about keeping it simple, that I used to just microdose just a little bit. And I swear that was the first time I'd had an interface with an organism that wasn't a human or an animal or plant, that where like I could feel what was needed in the environment. I was like, oh, more moisture, or just like, what's my temperature, you know? So yeah, letting literally and figuratively like letting the mushroom guide you. I think that's really sound advice. And I think that's so key and such a good point. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Bradford, we've talked on many things today. Of course, you're always welcome to come back in the future. I'm really excited to see where your business endeavors take you. And I will be keeping an eye out. You're actually in the Patreon, if I'm not mistaken, right? The Discord server.
Yeah.
friend, thank you for supporting me there. That's huge to have a subject matter expert in there, and just for your support in general. If there's any way I can support you, any form, shape, you know, I'm a phone call or a text message away, of course. Bradford, how can people find you? How can they get in contact with you? And where can they best support you?
Awesome. So I'm like on all the socials, on IG, Facebook, TikTok. Just started a YouTube recently.
My man.
I'm probably going to get on Vimeo. But like, themushroomchamp.com is pretty much where you can find me. The best way to support me, I would say, it would be Patreon, so I can keep putting money back into research, which is kind of what I'm trying to do now, is like maybe do more long form conversations and everything, and like just show that there's stuff going on, you know. Patreon is a huge thing, and then which is like something I learned from you and like a bunch of the other guys too, you know. Like Magic Maiko, and there's like a whole bunch of people. There's like Yoshi and Gordo Tech. There's Altitude Consulting actually has their Patreon going now too. But it's like it's more of like an even platform to be able to share the information that we need to share without being censored. And that's a big problem I've noticed with IG and Facebook, because they just keep taking things down for like no apparent reason. It's like, no, I'm trying to like educate and reduce harm for people. I'm not just trying to like capitalize on just the mushrooms coming out. Like that doesn't really matter, you know, but I mean, it does matter, but like, it's not,
I understand.
It's not what I'm trying to get at, you know, like it's trying to show people like, you know, there's other ways of doing this stuff easier. You don't have to do a lot of the work, you know, type, because there's people out there that have done most of the work for you to like cultivate successfully.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, Patreon would be a great space. But yeah, I'm on all the socials. I'm going to start trying to record some, you like did some content on your Patreon recently where it was like you going back, you were doing like a thing back and forth about the Kadam thing. It was so great, dude.
It was good. Okay.
Dude, it was awesome. It was so awesome. But no, I went on Microprinter's page like today, and I saw that he was wearing a thong in his like second thing. And I like, apparently that's like a huge thing too. So it's like,
that's his, I want to be able to like, thing,
I know, well, like, so somebody else did it. My, the Metagals like sent me a post from somebody that like he threw a thong on the bed along with some other stuff, like making port. Yeah. So like just, I really want to bring a lot of that, like, you know, just fun bullshit, you know, that like people are doing, because it creates the community that we're like doing right now, you know, like
totally agree.
It's massive. So like inside joke kind of thing. I don't know.
Well, because like, man, my thing is recently, like, I'm so torn because you're on the Patreon and Discord, so you see it, like, there's only so many fucking videos I can make on how to inoculate some bags.
Dude,
you know what I'm saying? Like, so now it's like, because of how many people are in the space, why not cater to like the somewhat, you know, mundane, monotonous content and make it fun? You know, like, I'm trying to kind of approach it that way now, you know, and like. Yeah, so dude, I would love to see that. If there's any way we can ever collab, you know, whatever, like let me know, dude, for sure. And thank you again for coming on today.
I appreciate it, dude.
Yeah, I appreciate you, man. And I'm really excited for everybody to listen to this episode. Yeah, and if you guys enjoyed this episode, make sure to give it a like, comment down below in the comment section. Don't forget to subscribe for future videos by hitting that bell icon. You'll be notified when I post brand new videos. Also, I have a Patreon as well. Make sure to go support Bradford on his. You can come check out mine as well. We do raffles, giveaways, and there's just, you know, these communities that we're creating, man. They're so important. You know, go join a safe space. If you want a space where you can learn and express yourself, go to our Patreons. Check them out. Also, new update. Bradford, you're first here, man. If you guys want to support me, I will be having some merchandise here on the website here pretty soon. The new website is up. You can go to microtrophic.com to check it out for personal mentorship, for merchandise, and for just all things podcast and Microtrophic. So anyways, with that said, namaste. Have a great day. Don't contemplate. Meditate. And we'll see you guys on the next one. Peace, Bradford. Thanks for coming on, man. Have a good day.
See ya.